Welcome to Come to the Brink. I'm Zoe Flowers, and this is a space for those of us navigating profound life changes, like loss, trauma, caregiving, and transformation. It's about what happens when everything you thought was solid crumbles beneath you and you're forced to rebuild. If you've ever felt like you're standing on the brink, this is the space for you. Welcome. When we arrive to the work, certain ingredients are present. In alchemy, this is known as prima materia, our starting point, or first material. It may not be the glistening beginning we envisioned, but the alchemist must be rigorously honest with their starting point. We must start at what is. That is our first step in the alchemical process. We cannot pretend salt is silver or that grief is gratitude. What fills our laboratory may be the fire of jealousy, the facade of perfectionism, the tangle of an affair, the ungraspable void of losing a loved one. It could be numbness and disconnect. It could be the excitement of a new love or an upcoming decision. Everything is an ingredient in the work. Regardless of its nature, our work begins when we acknowledge what needs tending to. The material becomes our teacher. We recognize its benevolent nature and listen to its longing. And in doing so, alchemy occurs. And that is a reading from The Wild Unknown, Alchemy Guidebook by Kim Kranz. Hey, y'all. It's been a while. I feel like I'm always saying it's been a while. I feel like I'm always disappearing and jumping back in. But I'm jumping back in with a new podcast, right? Welcome to the Brink. Come to the Brink with me. It's a new time. It's a new conversation. This is going to be a little different than the Magic Hours podcast. Talking about prima materia, dealing with what is the first material in the alchemic process. So for me, that came in February of 2020 when I packed up my bags and arrived at my mother's doorstep. For those of you that know me, you know that I'm a tarot reader. I am a speaker and author and all of those things, conjure woman, all those things. And I had gotten a sense that COVID was going to be a bad time. So about a week before that international travel ban happened, myself and a friend stocked up on goods. And I packed up my Ford Explorer, which was the truck I had at the time, the car I had at the time, and packed up a bunch of stuff from my Brooklyn apartment, and I arrived on my mother's doorstep, as I said. And she could not believe what she saw. I had so much stuff. And I told her, hey, listen, I hope it's going to be okay, but I feel like it's not. And at the most, I'll be here 4 months. I'll be out of here by April. Well, we know how that went, right? So for a while, it felt like I was just waiting out the pandemic, right? We were waiting out the pandemic together in those early months, playing cards and, just doing all of the things. We all were. We all were doing the best we could to get through that time. Luckily, I had been following what was happening in China, and I had also been following the Doomsday Preppers on YouTube. So it had been for a while. So we had plenty of masks. You know, we were stocked up on that. We had all of the provisions that I had gotten to carry us through the bulk of the pandemic relatively unscathed. I just went into survival mode, and my mom just did what 80-year-olds do. She just continued to do her own thing. And the months dragged on, and around 2021 or 2022, when things really started to open up, and I could have gone back to my apartment in New York, but I was really looking at my mom, and I knew something was wrong. She was really thin. She was forgetting conversations. Like, she would say something and then she would just like forget what she said. She was having a really hard time maintaining the bills. They were falling behind. She couldn't understand, you know, when you don't pay your bills on time and you get those fees added onto it. She couldn't understand the fees. She just couldn't get it together. And I really didn't understand it. And I really didn't have the patience I should have had with her. But I just didn't get what was going on. And so I just took over all the bills. I took over all the bills. I set everything up, you know, electronically so we wouldn't have those problems anymore. And that really helped to smooth things over a lot. Like, that was one obstacle that was easy to fix. But that memory, and I kept saying, that memory, like, you got to get that memory checked. And she was like, I'm fine. And I was like, maybe it's because she's 81 or, but then in 2023, something wasn't right. So I took her to get her memory checked and her numbers were below average. And the doctors told me that she had dementia. The kind of dementia she had came from drinking. Lifetime of drinking. That generation, right? That's, you know, that's what they did. They drank, they smoked. That's what they did. That's what was marketed to them. That's what was shown to them, you know, boomers, as a good time. And my mom had taken a pretty serious fall in 2021. And after that, she had really cut down on the drinking a lot. And she had COPD. And so she cut down on the drinking. She did not cut down on the smoking, really. And that was a constant battle. But she didn't understand dementia. She didn't understand what it meant. And she would want to go to certain events and drink. And I would have to say, Mom, this is what's going on. You can't do that. This is affecting your brain. But she just didn't get it. And I didn't know how to explain it to her. So we did the best we could. And then the doctors said, hey, listen, the type of dementia she has, we don't think it's going to progress. We're not as worried about the dementia as we are about the COPD. Okay, great. So we made it through the rest of 2023. And then in early 2024, something else came along. And if you've been through something like this, you know that grief doesn't wait for death. It starts early. And for me, it started when I realized that COVID wasn't going to be the fourth stint that I thought it would be. Let me just break for a minute and say a little something about my life. I always wanted to live in New York City. From a little kid, I wanted to act. I wanted to sing. There was lots of violence in the home growing up, and Hollywood was my escape. Musicals were my escape. For those of you that may have read my book or seen me speak, you know that I'm a survivor of racial bullying growing up, and entertainment was everything for me. It was either going to be LA or going to be New York. Yes, I worked in domestic violence for a long time, but my heart was always in entertainment. Probably from the time that I was 7 years old. And I'd finally made it to New York City. I'd finally made it to Brooklyn. I had written a play. I was touring that play. I had written a film, wrote it, produced it, funded it, shot it, was having it edited right before COVID. I had written a book. I was touring with it. I had speaking engagements planned. And it was like, finally, it was going to be my turn. And then COVID, all those things stopped. But I was able to work during COVID. My business grew, my healing business grew during COVID. So I put my entertainment dreams to the side, and that was my first grieving, right? And then my second grieving was having to leave New York and be in my childhood state that I had ran away from so many years prior, because there were so many bad memories. Good ones too, but man, a lot of bad ones that maybe we'll talk about if you all care. But now here I was, full-time caretaker, mom has dementia. I'm living in a place I really don't want to live in. And I'm just trying to make it through. Also do spiritual work. So I had students, spiritual students, and rituals that I was teaching. So I was making it through, and I was okay. I was sad, but I was okay. And just as I was wrapping my head around everything, came the next blow. February 2024, a few weeks before my mom's 83rd birthday, cancer. Urethral cancer. And that was caused by smoking. Oh, I was so mad at her. I was so furious coming home in the car with her. I couldn't even speak to her. Because really and truly, the only things we ever argued about was the smoking and the drinking. I begged her to stop smoking. For most of my life. And she just wouldn't. And now she had three COPD, again, also from smoking, but two diseases, both preventable, both results of her choices. And the life that I built, that I feel like I clawed my way into, full of art and travel and freedom. Little by little, my life was slipping away. And it was replaced by things I never expected because of my mom's choices. And nobody was coming to help. You know, I had some chosen family, but it's my mom. It's my responsibility. And at first, you know, small errands, running errands every day. Like, that was my life. My solace was going to the grocery store. It was reminding her about things that she forgot, begging her to bathe, begging her to get out of bed. I didn't know it was the cancer that was fatiguing her. I didn't know. It was doctor's appointments. It was hospital stays. It was begging her to take her medication.
and watching her body and her mind wither away. And somewhere in all of that, I lost some pretty big pieces of myself, I think. I became my mom's memory, her fiercest fucking advocate with those doctors, her full-time support. So I really couldn't work. It just was impossible. I just didn't have the energy. And I still had my Brooklyn apartment. So I still had all those Brooklyn bills to pay. But I made it through, thank goddess. And sometimes I didn't know where she ended and I began. And if I am honest, it's probably been like that for a long time. 5 months after my mom's diagnosis, she was gone. Diagnosed in February, gone by July. That's another story of how her illness went undetected for years by her doctors, despite her complaints to them. How do you love somebody while resenting what they've done to themselves and to you? How do you grieve someone who's still here, but not really here? And how do you prepare for a loss that you've seen coming, but it still feels like it knocks the wind out of you when it finally comes? These are the questions that I've been asking myself. And these are the questions I hope that we can talk about together. If you've been a caretaker, if you've walked this road, I want to hear from you. I want to hear about when you first knew you were stepping into that role. I want to hear all about the emotions that you wrestled with, the love mixed with the resentment, mixed with the exhaustion. I want to hear all of it. You can email me at info@iamzoeflowers.com. You can send me a voice note. You can DM me if you follow me on Instagram, I am Zoe Flowers, and say, hey, I want to talk about this with you. I want this to be a conversation, not just my story. So next time on Come to the Brink, I'm going to talk about that slow unraveling. The moment I realized I wasn't just helping my mom, but I was becoming somebody else entirely. I'll share what it feels like to disappear into somebody else's needs and what it takes to get back to yourself. That's why I can't continue with the Magic Hours podcast, because I'm not the same person. And if you've been changed, if this is your story, I want to hear from you. So again, send me your voice notes, send me your stories, because none of us should have to stand on the brink alone. I'm Zoe Flowers, and I will see you soon. Bye.